Music at 6:30, the husband and wife piano duo, Pascal and Amy Roget, perform a specially recorded concert of Ravel's music for two pianos, including Bolero and La Valse. Also, don't miss a unique version of Bolero by beatboxer Shlomo. More information from the Radio 3 website.
Opera on 3 tomorrow presents a new production of Mozart's Don Giovanni. Recorded at the Royal Opera House in London. Arrogant, promiscuous and outrageous, Don Giovanni meets his match in the ghost of the man he kills. Join me, Louise Fryer, for Opera on 3, Mozart's Don Giovanni, tomorrow at 7:30, here on BBC Radio 3.
Now it's time for the Early Music Show, and this week Claire Salaman presents a programme all about one of her musical passions.
Hello and welcome to the Early Music Show. My name is Claire Salaman. I'm a multi-instrumentalist and the director of the Society of Strange and Ancient Instruments. I'm lucky to have a wonderful collection of unusual stringed instruments, all of which have rich history stretching back hundreds of years. And today I'd like to tell you about one of my favourites, the nickel harper. The nickel harper has been around in one form or other for more than 600 years, yet today it's little known outside Sweden, where it's still very popular. Nickel means key and harper means fiddle, and although the nickel harper has keys and strings, that's not the whole story. It's longer than a viola and is held or hung sideways across the body, and a short bow is drawn across the four strings. We've put a photograph of my instrument on the Early Music Show website. Small wooden tangents made from tiny pieces of wood are pushed by keys against the playing strings. This changes the pitch, just as fingers do when placed on the fingerboard of a violin or cello. Most modern nickel harpers have 12 so-called sympathetic strings, which aren't touched when the instrument is played. These lie under the four playing strings, and there's one for every note of the chromatic scale. Every time a note is bowed on a playing string, its corresponding sympathetic string will vibrate in sympathy. The result is bewitching, pure, resonant, and otherworldly.
Thank you.
Nickel harper virtuoso Marco Ambrosini playing Isabella, an Istampita from 14th century Italy. I particularly like the percussive clattering effect created by pressing the wooden tangents into the playing strings without bowing at the same time. One of the earliest depictions of a bowed fiddle with keys can be found in Siena in a fresco by Taddeo di Bartolo, painted in 1408. It features a serious-looking angel playing a keyed fiddle. This instrument has several playing strings, but only one row of keys, and it's likely that the strings without keys were bowed simultaneously and provided a drone accompaniment to the tune. No resonating or sympathetic strings for the earliest incarnations of the nickel harper. Skip forward a few centuries and over to Sweden, the country that is now considered to be the home of the nickel harper. Buskalla, born in 1783, is considered by many to have been one of the greatest players in the instrument's history. He was also a composer, and his tunes are still central to the core repertory of Swedish traditional music. This next piece is played on the silverbass harper, a predecessor of the nickel harper. It's not fully chromatic, and only a couple of the playing strings have keys. This gives it an earthy quality that may be closer to the sound of those keyed fiddles in 15th century Italy.
Thank you.
two tunes by the great Buscalla, played by Nickel Harp Orchestern. The sound of the nickel harper is very like the sound of the viol, especially the souped-up version of a tenor viol, the rather wonderfully named viola bastarda. This was an all-purpose instrument which also went by the name of lira viol. Back in the 17th century, Pretorius speaks glowingly of the instrument's versatility in his musical encyclopedia Syntagma Musicum. He says a good player can produce harmony and counterpoint as well as playing melody and bass parts. He then describes how it's fitted with sympathetic strings, which he says considerably adds to the beauty of the sound. I couldn't agree more. The fretted fingerboard of the viol does not encourage vibrato, and in the same way the tangents which stop the strings on the nickel harper leave little room for wobble. Add sympathetic strings into the mix, and sound-wise, the two instruments have a lot in common.
Thank you.
Concerto Caledonia, playing the Lady of Sussex Delight, the Lady of Suffolk's Delight and the Queen's Delight, all of which appear in Tobias Hume's Poetical Music, published in 1607. You heard a mixed consort, viola bastarda, nickel harper, tenor viol, flute, two Ophirions and virginal. Praetorius doesn't describe the bowed-keyed fiddle, but he does include it in a series of illustrative plates. There, alongside a hurdy-gurdy and various percussion instruments and horns, is a bowed-keyed fiddle, simpler than the modern nickel harper, but an ancestor nevertheless. Evidence of keyed fiddles during the 17th and 18th century is sporadic, to say the least, so while we know they existed, today's players have to adopt the time-honoured tradition of arranging pieces they like for their instrument. There are countless precedents. Chédeville's arrangement of Vivaldi's Spring for hurdy-gurdy and orchestra, to name one eccentric example. And many of us have been inspired to follow suit. Here is my arrangement of a rondo from a violin sonata by Franquin, played by the Society of Strange and Ancient Instruments.
Thank you.
a rondo by Franca, played by the Society of Strange and Ancient Instruments. In Sweden, the nickel harpa enjoys considerable celebrity today, as well as an unbroken tradition stretching back to the 14th century. In fact, it is so popular that an explanatory diagram of the instrument is pictured on the 50 krona note. Johan Hedin is one of Sweden's best-known players, with particular interest in repertoire from the 18th and 19th centuries. nickel harper player Johan Hedin and organist Gunnar Edenstam playing a couple of Swedish polskas. The first by a miller named Anders Larsson, found in a notebook dated 1810, followed by an anonymous tune that dates back to the 18th century. Now for something rather different, a Vivaldi violin sonata in a modern arrangement for nickel harper by Marco Ambrosini.
Thank you.
I love that cheeky flourish just before the final chord. That was the Violin Sonata Opus 2, No. 8 by Vivaldi, arranged for nickel harper and continuo. The range of the nickel harper is the same as the viola, and Marco Ambrosini has transposed the sonata down to accommodate this. Still, he manages to retain the vivacious spirit of the faster movements, and I can't help feeling that Vivaldi, whose prolific output includes music written for a wide variety of instruments, would have thoroughly approved. Now for some more ensemble music, a glorious rendition of La Follia. The nickel harper has no trouble holding its own in this colourful landscape. Oni Vitar's ensemble playing Sonata La Folia. Bach has been a magnet for nickel harper players. For many, the appeal is the opportunity for self-sufficiency offered by his unaccompanied music. But that's not the case in this recording of the Saraband from the Fifth Cello Suite. Torbjörn Nasborn and bass player Sebastian Dubé now take us on a seamless journey from pure unadulterated Bach to a Swedish-style polska. The Saraband from the Fifth Cello Suite by Bach, played and arranged by the nickel harper player Torbjörn Nasbaum and bass player Sebastian Dubé. There's been much talk in the last year of early music coming of age as several groundbreaking groups celebrated their 40th year. This birthday has not only given us an opportunity to reflect on their achievements, but it's also led us to consider what might lie ahead. In the last few years, we've seen a wealth of innovative projects from some of our leading early music ensembles, Orchestra of the Age of Enlightenment and Yves Agilini, to name just two. I'd like to think that this is a sign that we now have perfect conditions for the nickel harper and other curious instruments from the past to flourish again.
The Oni Vitas Ensemble performing Follia d'Arcangelo. Today's edition of the Early Music Show was presented by Claire Salomon, and the producer was Paul Frankel. If you're intrigued by the nickel harper, we've put a photograph of Claire Salomon with her own nickel harper on the Early Music Show website. Just go to the Radio 3 website and then follow the links to the Early Music Show. You'll also find there a short video of Claire demonstrating the instrument. Next week's programme celebrates the 300th anniversary of the birth of Carl Philipp Emanuel Bach. That's at 2 o'clock next Sunday afternoon here on BBC Radio 3. Well, now it's 3 o'clock and time for Choral Evensong, which was first broadcast from Truro Cathedral on Wednesday. While the canticles are Herbert Howells's Gloucester service, written in 1946, much of the other music in the service is by Hubert Parry. Three of his six Songs of Farewell, which were written between 1916 and 1918, not only at the end of Parry's life, but at the height of the First World War, in which a number of Parry's pupils from the Royal College of Music were fighting. The anthem is the fifth of the Songs of Farewell, a setting of words by John Donne, At the Round Earth's Imagined Corners. And the prayers are followed by There is an Old Belief, words by the 19th century Scottish writer John Gibson Lockhart. The service opens now with Parry's setting of words by the English Renaissance composer, poet and physician Thomas Campion. Never weather-beaten sail more willing bent to shore.
O Lord, open thou our lips,
and our mouths shall show forth thy praise.
O God, make speed to save us.
O Lord,
hear us, and praise to help us.
Glory be to the Father.
Welcome to Truro Cathedral and to this service of choral evensong, which continues with the choir singing the psalm for the 26th evening of the month, Psalm 119, verses 145 to 176.